It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, Radio Land.
Hello.
This is Eric from
and Chris,
and we are Audionauts, dissecting tracks of Walk Among Us, cut by cut.
Today's cut is...
I Turned Into a Martian.
You had to check your notes.
I did have to check my notes. It's okay, we've only been prepping this now for the last 20 minutes, and I still had to look down and say, what the hell. So a couple carryovers from last episode.
Yep.
This is the second song on the album.
Yep.
That's one of the immediate carryover. It's also the only other minute and 41 second song.
Tune in to last week's episode to hear the significance.
Right, so if you're just joining us now, you're going to be like, big deal, it's a minute and 41. Lots of punk songs are 141. I put out there, Glenn Danzig is a freaking genius.
Right.
And it all starts with 141.
We know he loves his Bible, his right. Jesus.
Forget we stuff. Are 138. We are 141.
We are 141.
Right, we're almost there.
Okay.
Or we're actually a little bit beyond 138. We are 141. So
plus three, give or take.
Yeah, exactly. I can't do math that fast. So this is a particular favorite of mine. I really like I Turned Into a Martian.
Great song.
It's got a ton of woes.
Poppy is all hell.
Hell yeah.
Even though he would never admit it.
This is the song I feel like you come to the party for 40 eyes, you stay for I Turned Into a Martian.
You came for 40 eyes, you're getting shortchanged a little.
Yeah, well, my God, I'm checking my notes on everything. There's going to be a lot of hard edits in this episode, apparently.
That's what I'm here for, folks.
Yeah.
Attention to detail.
You are the proof editor guy, law speaking man. So a couple things. One, we'll start with a couple little facts, if you
sure.
will.
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Miss facts.
15, no, this is just regular facts.
Yeah.
These are just regular. Edmund Spenser, the Fairy Queen, in 1596, first literary recording of the word Martian.
Oh, nice, okay.
All right. Then in 1890, Martians become a sci-fi creature thing, as in people from Mars.
Okay.
So again, while I think that Glenn Danzig tells the world he's not thinking about these things, the man is a sophisticated literary genius.
All that time spent sitting in mom's basement
or
attic, I don't remember.
Next
which.
To his book collection.
Yes.
Yep. His books about werewolves and werewolf Jesus.
Lost chapters of the Bible.
All of those things. He's actually a literary nerd who's reading Edmund Spenser and William Shakespeare's sonnets and hiding those clues in his songs for people like us, Audionauts, to dive through the space and time of.
You know, like I think you sprung that on me the first episode. In between these two episodes, I still have not been able to disprove your theory.
Right, and that's the great thing about a conspiracy theory. Like, tell me that Bigfoot, show me that Bigfoot doesn't exist.
Prove a negative.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do it.
He's never been to your house, has he?
Nope.
There you go.
Quite frankly, as much as I am a fan, if he did show up, I probably wouldn't open the door.
No, I'd go, hell no.
Yeah, all right.
Who knows what kind of mites and ticks and things he has dangling from him.
God,
do you think Yetis wipe? I mean, like, come on, that's a real question. If
Danzig
you're a humanoid...
He's
I wasn't talking about Danzig as
Martian.
Yeti. Yeah, no, I was talking about Yetis. Let's go back into Martians.
Okay
so... So go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, he's pretty much known
for his... I thought you were
wondering
if Danzig wiped, was the question.
I kind of
thought
was...
that's how we get Danzig to show up at our house, punch us, and walk away.
Okay. I was about to maybe defend him, I guess, in that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, by all means. Talk about...
Defend him, or defend us or him.
Yeah. One of us has to be defended.
Defend us by defending him.
Okay.
He's relatively well known for his obsessive kind of cleanish living.
Yeah.
You know, he likes a rum and coke, I guess, or sometimes the occasional hard drink, but... For the most part, living the
Oh, there is no doubt a Danzig is take your shoes off when you enter my house kind of guy.
And your shirt.
Yeah. Can you put this on? It's just mesh. Like, doesn't it get windy? Well, that actually brings me to a funny point, because I had some misfacts.
Yeah, great.
That I wanted to put
from
you
facts
through. To misfacts. We need a jingle for that. Danzig, it is known, in Body by Satan, a 1995 Details magazine interview.
Nice.
That Danzig studied Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding magazine, okay. A book called Modern Bodybuilding.
Okay.
So you ready for this?
Ready.
Danzig says in this interview that he can bench A, 240 pounds.
Okay.
B, 300 pounds.
Oh, it's trivia.
Or A, B, or 3. You be
I'm
the
following,
judge.
I'm following.
180 pounds. How much can Danzig bench?
That's a good... Yeah. So I'm going to go Princess Bride on you here. You might want me to think that it's the ridiculous amount.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be surprised by the low amount that he says he can bench. Maybe in an act of humility or faux modesty. I'm going to cut it down the middle. I'll go with your A, 240.
240?
Because it's kind of
like... You think that Danzig has any kind of humility, fake or real?
He went 300, didn't he? Son of a
he benches. He starts.
Starts.
Like
that's like his 80%.
Yeah, he gave his like Monday through Friday.
Oh
and
yeah,
then
that's
take
his
the weekend
that's his
off
rep.
Kind of
that's
thing.
His
yeah.
rep. Week.
Yeah, and he defends himself. You know, he says like, well, I'm on the road. I can't really work out that much. But this is when I'm home and I have all my equipment. That's when he puts up 300. Yeah, no, understandable. He does say he can bench curl. Okay, so this is where you sit. This is like lonely teenager. Right, oh, bench curl is
I have no idea.
Lonely teenager sitting on the edge of a bench.
Just doing that, like the arm
reps. Doing the arm reps, right?
Okay, yep.
Now, he says that he can bench curl. This has got to be wrong, right? That bench curl's got to be two hands and then curl from the bench.
Is that the one where like, you put your elbows down and you have like the kind of the bent bar?
Yeah. Let's pretend that that's it. Like, you can tell that I work
right
out
us
a lot,
in,
right?
Folks.
Yeah, exactly. He says that he can bench curl 195 pounds. 275 pounds, or C, 55 pounds.
You're setting me up, but I'm going with whatever one was the highest amount.
95 pounds, you are correct.
Okay.
So according to Danzig, in 1995, he could lift, bench press 300 pounds.
Okay.
And that he could bench curl 95 pounds.
I'm ill-equipped to even partially suggest like how
one of those is wrong.
300 seems like a lot. I was gonna buy the 240 ish because
I totally would have bought 240.
I'm around enough people that do kind of lift and lift, you know, 200 and things like that, that I would believe maybe.
Yep.
But 300 just seems like you're approaching.
Well, our friend Daryl is a monster in the gym.
Sure.
And he is not a 300 pound.
I would say he's a monster in the gym. He's a monster at, you know, he can do pull-ups like a machine, right?
Yeah,
so he's
yeah.
mastered his own body weight.
Okay, so...
He's not lifting up half a car.
You know, he's not trimming or cutting or any of that
stuff.
He's
not, like, you know, changing a tire by... Sorry about that. He's not changing a tire by lifting up the back of the car with one hand and doing the...
Yeah, we'll have to get into what 300 pounds means when you lift it, but...
Yeah.
So... Back we are again at arguing with Misfit Central, and I don't mean to start beef with them.
Yep. The guy did a buttload of research in the dark ages of the internet.
Yes. And
so
once again...
We would not be here without him.
In understanding where I turned into a Martian came from,
yep.
This is where we start to... The theory starts to come together one direction and fall apart in another direction.
Yeah, sure.
You want to go with that?
So yeah, I mean, I'm going to set you up. I buy the reference that you're going to discuss.
Okay.
Being that it is literary, I like to think that he's pulling from literature at times too. You know, not just the movies. The movies seem a little easy.
Yeah, see, I completely disagree with that. I don't, that's the whole reason.
You're going from the guy living Shakespeare.
Because I think he's hiding it. I think he's a closet okay. nerd or closet
right,
geek.
Right. So with that, what is your...
Misfit Central states, again, I kind of half read it, but that Dark They Were and Golden-Eyed.
Yes, great.
The Ray Bradbury song. He believes that this is the core of the song, right? This is where it came from. I disagree for a couple reasons. One, Now, for those of you who don't know Dark They Were in GoldenEye, Harry Bittering is a colonist on Mars, and he feels that Mars is best left to the Martians.
Yeah, doesn't want to go.
Right. He can't leave Mars because of war, and he notices that suddenly there's all these strange changes that are happening, right? And eventually, he becomes a Martian, quite literally.
There's something about the food, right?
Just living in an environment crafts you to that environment.
Okay.
You know, I send you to England after 6 or 7 months, maybe a year.
Hello, Governor.
You start to not gain an English accent, but lose your American accent.
Okay, yep.
So there's no killing. There's no mind possession.
So there's... It's too peaceful of a reference.
Oh, way too peaceful. Huh. And I also don't think that Glanzig was... I'm going to stay with that. I'm not even going to correct it. I think that for Glenn, writing about a short story...
No?
No, I think he's totally put the tape in the VCR and let it go kind of guy.
Okay.
Because most of the tracks are movie-based, I'm going by proportionate. So this would be the only one that's literary-based.
Well, this is all hypothetical anyway, because he's never confirmed any of this.
Well, he will for us. I am convinced that we will hear from his lawyer telling us exactly what for. But possession of the mind is a terrible thing, transformation with an urge to kill.
Right, Roger. Right?
So he doesn't have that urge to kill. His mind isn't possessed. His body becomes.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I'm thinking like Brain Slug or... Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of thing, right? Not the body of a man for Earth, not the face of the one you love.
Okay.
This is the bridge to your movie.
Right.
Right? So it meets the criteria. It's a movie. It's a monster movie from 50...
Yep, from 1958. It's called I Married a Monster from Outer Space.
All right.
Now, I have not seen the movie. I've only read about it.
Yep, yep.
But
As they say in Mexico.
I have to assume there's some killing as it is a... I don't know. It's still science fiction, and I honestly don't remember if there's any killing.
Somebody dies, and somebody's hand goes up over their forehead in a black and white screen.
Okay,
so I haven't seen it, but I almost promise you.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's some ominous... The poster's pretty ominous, like the bride might be in danger. So, again, hadn't had time to watch it, but don't know about possession either, but... The title suggests that the one she loves is, you know, there you go, not the face of the one you love.
Right, right, right.
Not
so Danzig is this third-person narrator saying you, and it's her that he's talking about.
Yeah, well, so this is where you can discount kind of either of the stories where neither... Well, I'll go to the Ray Bradbury one where he's in the Ray Bradbury story. It's told from the story of this young man who, by the way that he has... He's seen the things happen, and he never fully accepts that he being put there on them. You know, he follows his parents out there, didn't want to go in the first place, and is watching everyone around him change. And his want for not to be a Martian, not to be of Mars, he stays with the things from Earth. He's only eating the food from Earth, I believe.
Yeah.
Until he runs out.
Yes.
When he has to take the Mars sustenance. And then changes start to happen.
The Mars sustenance. Yeah.
And the changes start to happen. The eyes of the rings of the golden-eyed rings.
Yep.
So he is in that story.
But I don't think changing into a Martian makes you the Martian that you've changed into in I Turned Into a Martian.
But it's a first-person account in a song.
Yeah.
As opposed to the movie, which is told from the wife's plight as the...
I think this is where Danzig, in that version at least, is changing the narrative a little.
Okay.
Right? Not the face of the one you love. Like, he's singing to her.
Correct.
He's the husband. I turned into a Martian.
Yeah.
I'm not the face of the one you love.
Okay.
You with me on that?
I'm following. Yeah, I was trying really hard. He's flipping the narrative, man. He's flipping the narrative on the movie.
Yeah, because I don't think Danzig would ever put himself in a woman's point of view.
Oh, hell no.
You know,
no, I believe he's...
I think he would adamantly go miles around that.
I think he's wisened up lately where he doesn't make these the flippant comments of the...
Of the 80s. Of the glorious...
Yeah,
of the glorious inflammatory 80s.
Yeah, where you can call, you know...
Yeah, anybody anything.
Anybody anything and have it be, you know, not really... People won't bat an eye at it.
I think people batted eyes. They just weren't... I don't know. They didn't have an internet to collectivize.
They either went, eh. Yep. Or it's Danzig being Danzig.
Or they beat people up. And so I actually...
Or they agreed.
I actually will go a step further. So I discounted Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
And I discounted War of the Worlds, two other popular theories for this song.
War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
I don't buy
it. I think it was because it was a stretch. There was Mars involved. Okay. But I do think Invaders from Mars,
okay,
in which a kid confronts aliens who set up a base in his backyard, and thanks to a doctor and a plucky astronomer, he manages...
Always so plucky.
...a team up to stop them.
Nice.
Which, to me, sounds ripe for a remake, you know, like of a V-type thing. But here's the cool thing, ready? Invaders from Mars was the first feature to show aliens and spacecraft in color.
Okay, wow.
So it was the first, you know, sort of color sci-fi spectacular, right?
You would think I would have crossed paths with that one, but I don't think I have.
And it was based loosely on this thing called the Lubbock Lights, L-U-B-B-O-C-K.
Okay.
Giggle. 1951. It was the first great UFO case in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you're out there in the Texas plains, you, your prairie dogs, your armadillos. What else you got out there in Texas? Scorpions.
No, are they in Texas? Northern Texas, maybe?
Sure.
Who knows?
They talk with a drawl, and they you know. The
dragonflies are this big.
This episode's sponsored by the Texas Travel Bureau, Texas. Come die. The U.S. Air Force, I guess, said, and this is awesome, in their initial thing when all these people started calling in and being like, oh my God, there's all these crazy lights up there doing all of these dances. They were like, no, they're plovers. Now, for those of you who don't know, yeah, plovers are a really wimpy type of bird that's so dumb it lays its eggs directly in the soil.
Under your feet.
So it constantly has to be saved from itself. Yep. And I think a creature this dumb is kind of begging for extinction.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many centuries that you can, you know, really go with the kindest of strangers, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, then the U.S. Air Force went and said, no, 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 it wasn't plovers. We retract that. This is the best part. Here's the punchline. That it was a very commonplace and easily explainable phenomenon. And when the people said, great, what is this commonplace and easily explainable phenomenon? The U.S. Air Force was suddenly like, phone call, sorry.
Swamp gas.
No, they never said.
They never said.
They didn't even say, like, swamp gas. They were just like, it's totally, and I can explain this totally. Okay, what is it? Next question, please.
I got a thing. I'll be right back. Yep. It's coming down with something.
It's easily explained.
What was it? Did you hear that? Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
The military has responded really weirdly about all these things.
Did you... Did I ever tell you why I believe in UFOs? Like, why I'm a conspiracy theorist person?
No.
All right, so...
Maybe I wrote it off.
I'm fully aware of people being like, okay, he believes in UFOs. I believe in UFOs more than I believe in ghosts.
Sure, okay.
So I'm watching CNN, right? I'm on my extra bike, and I'm watching CNN, and this guy comes on CNN, and he says, in other news, Mexico and America are going to release all of their... They're going to open up freedom of information kind of thing.
The
freedom
archives.
Of exchange. Yeah. On all potential UFO or alleged UFO sightings and stuff like this. Now, it wasn't Halloween and it wasn't April Fool's.
Okay.
So, I forget when it was, but I know Christmas. It wasn't those 2 days. St. Patrick's Day. In a grand gesture of celebrating the Irish. So, he comes on and he says this. And with my ex at the time, we're both watching it and... kind of look at each other like, is that a thing that was just said over the airwaves? And, you know, CNN repeats everything. That was it. We watched for 4 or 5 more hours
around.
And it never looped around.
Nice.
And I was like, all right, there's something going on there. Like, that's huge. I became a believer.
I think you have told me that before. That's ringing a bell.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there for that. So, well, I actually have a sighting.
Like, do you know, and you're still a doubter?
I have an experience.
Okay.
So I grew up in town down south, and we're driving down.
Editing out locations in case.
We're driving down route.
Yeah.
Heading south.
Are you worried that people are going to triangulate where you live?
Where I used to live?
By where you are now? Or are you worried the government is going to come after you? Could you imagine opening your door tomorrow and Danzig and the government getting out of cars at the same time?
Yeah, whoa. So I'd actually let him punch me before I'd want them to take me away. So yeah.
Did you see that? Danzig punched me. That's another thing none of you are going to believe. Yeah. You're sitting in your prison cell.
Yeah.
You and Cordell from Exophon 9. Yep.
I don't remember who I was with. I was probably with a parent.
Okay, this is a good story. It's off driving a lot down of credential.
The, driving down the road. Pitch black outside, you know, so, you know, post 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
And, post 8 o'clock, yes. It's a common expression.
I'm trying so hard, people, just to speak in an eloquent way, and it's failing. So anyway, we're driving down the road, moderate speed, and a white light, literally like an orbish kind of thing.
Yeah.
From at least my the memory that I have of it is that I would say about the size like a soccer ball or a volleyball or something.
Yep.
Just whips out of the woods. So I'm driving, it's wooded on either side. Comes out of the woods, whips across the road, and then comes back around behind us and goes back into the woods where we came, gone.
All right.
And I just got goosebumps because it happened.
Yeah.
I was there. I remember it. No one else remembers it.
So
wasn't a dream, it was an experience.
So do you think that they abducted everybody, erased? Do you think that they erased everybody's memory?
I don't have any like post-traumatic stress about anything that happened. I don't, you know, no experience for me.
Yeah.
Just, it was like a whoop, whoop, gone. Did that just happen? Did anyone else see that? And it was kind of like, at the time, people were like, I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah.
And no one cared, and I was out of my gourd as to what just happened. So
I think you were the only one who got missed by whatever don't care ray. The apathy canon, that's, and we're not really supposed to be talking about that, but the apathy canon is huge.
Is that the basis for the Men in Black blinky device?
Yeah, they dumbed it down a lot. Yeah. It's actually a much smaller device, and it's like a tie clip. But
so like nowadays, that thing would have been explained by like a drone of some kind. But
yeah,
this was 90s. There's no, well, you know, the, you know, the government had them. Yeah. The government had them or what, but this didn't exist.
Well, it reminds me of that, didn't they do the same thing in Brady Bunch where they had the whistle and the sheet and they were like,
maybe.
And it was like,
great effect.
Thank you very much. And they had like, I think they were projecting from a flashlight and a cardboard.
Oh.
It was either a ghost or a UFO.
Not a Brady Bunch guy, even in syndication.
Really?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Huh. No, you're not a child of your age, I guess. Or era, or whatever the case may be.
That was like Nick at Night reruns.
Oh, that's true. You're a little younger than me, aren't you?
Yeah.
So
I dream a genie, on the other hand.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Woo! Yeah. Come for the genie, stay for the genie. I got nothing to say about that. Now we're really in dark territory. Do you have any other misfacts or any other Martian facts before we get into covers?
No, I was a little light on this. But before we do the covers, I want to know from you.
From me.
How many sleepless nights do you give this song?
How many sleepless nights do I give this song? So here we are in the ratings section of the show, where we rate based on
whatever
some
the
aspects,
criteria
right?
you
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you
so
define.
How many sleepless nights? So am I looking, like, are a lot of sleepless nights better than fewer sleepless nights?
Yeah, the higher the number, the better.
Okay. Let's say out of a week's worth, like out of 7 sleepless nights, because after that point, you really should seek medical attention. I'm gonna go 6 sleepless nights.
Out of?
7 sleepless
6,
nights.
Right, good night, night, nice.
So I'm right
you
there.
You set that up and I totally just spaced,
yeah.
Sorry.
I'm right there at it being
really good. 6
awesome.
Sevenths.
Yeah. It's one of those songs I find myself humming almost. There's a few songs like The Clash's Hate and War, which I'll find myself humming for no real reason. This is up there where I'll be like, okay, I guess I'm buying cornflakes. So I'm giving it 6 out of 7 because of hummability, extreme hummability.
Right. So that the obvious choice would have been how many woes. This song has at least a dozen woe moments in it.
Yeah.
So the Misfits are one of the few bands that I actually can stomach the woes.
Like Joey Lawrence. How many woes?
Quick, Blossom.
Yes.
All right. My sister watched that. I was not a fan. But
I don't think it was a guy show. I'm going to be completely sexist there and say this was not designed for.
Whoa. So not Joey Lawrence.
Somebody's got to do that remix. Like, I turned into a Martian. Whoa.
I, You smelt it, you dealt it, my friend.
I have to make it now.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to give it all the woes.
All the woes.
I'm going to give it a perfect rating.
Seven sleepless nights Seven for sleepless I turned into nights. A Martian. So either you are a slightly easier grader than I am, or I'm slightly tougher.
Am I coming in just over you on
You everything? Are. But the nice thing is in the field, right, in teaching, we have what we call adjacent scores. So like if I set up a scale of 5 and you give it a 4 and I give it a 3, that's fine because they're adjacent.
Okay.
If you give it a 5 and I give it a 3, now we've got, whoa, now we've got issues.
Right. So what I'm, I guess, for better radio, I should probably come in at like just a 0, you know, because.
No, I don't. There's going to be plenty of songs on this album to conflict with, okay. I think I turned into a Martian as a general crowd pleaser.
No, again, so you go right from 20 Eyes
mm-hmm.
into this. So you got the simple, you know, drum beat, you know, just whatever kind of drum beat you call that in 20 Eyes.
Yeah.
Right into this one, which has, you know, it's a little less stuttering of a song. It's a flowing Danzig, just deep woes coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's channeling that 1950s rock and roll.
I don't stomach woes from a lot of bands. This one, you can't.
No, you can't. Sometimes you can woe overload or over woe load. Over woed. Sometimes you can overwode.
Nice.
Yeah. We have a title for the show, I think. Overwode. Maximum overwode.
Yeah. Don't be offended, lisp people.
Yeah. No.
Lisps. Aww.
No, I'll capitalize the W-O-A-H. Right. So it's, you know.
Pun, not insult.
Yes, exactly. We're laughing with us. So let's get into some covers because I dug and now I used to have a podcast and I put out 2 hours of all Misfits podcasts. And I could never really... The one that I would settle on is not in this episode because I think that that person has other better Misfits covers.
Okay, yep.
So I want to use those later on. So I am deferring almost all covers to you for this episode.
Okay, well, there are some covers out there. You will chronically hear just because of the love of both of us have for the surf rockish Crimson Ghost cover, it nice Muzaki surf rocky instrumental cover there, which we may or may not grace you with in this episode, but honorable mentions in terms of covers,
ones that don't quite make.
I mean, which there was a dearth of covers for this song. They're out there. They're all pretty much. What I hate in a cover when it's basically just a, here's a song, here's our version of it, and we tried to sound exactly like the Misfits.
Right.
Right, so I think...
a lot of bands fall into that trap.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to do. I mean, sometimes you love a song, I think, and I get it. You just want to play the song and hope people are hearing the source material when they're playing it, not what you're doing to
it. Right.
So you just want to get up there and rock out to a song people know. But so No Use for a Name covered it. I love No Use for a Name, so it's on there. Just
do you want to start with that one?
No, I don't even think
because that one actually made the cut for what you had told me originally.
Okay, yeah, play a sample if you'd like.
Here we go. This is live. I think that's why it didn't make the list originally.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard. It's live. This might even be they recorded it for a live album, and this is even a different live version.
This is live in Sydney from some year.
Tony Sly, I love you. Rest in peace.
This is courtesy of. It's so hard to say some of this stuff with a straight face. This is courtesy of Mosh Cam.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mosh.
It's called I Turned Into a Mushroom.
Mushroom. Love it.
So that didn't make it because...
Again, we just criticized bands for just redoing the song. This is No Use for a Name. Not quite doing it in the Misfits style. They're doing it in their own style, but it's still blah.
Yeah.
But again, I mention it because I'm just a No Use for a Name geek.
Well, I think the opposite of that can be said when a band goes too far into their own category.
Yeah.
And so this is one that you came up with that I'm presenting for. This is a road that somebody went down. And should not have.
Yeah, so I circle the drain on various types of music. you know, I get into a little crust sometimes. I get into some of the death metal. This one, you know, folks, you be the judge. This is by a band called Inhuman
Dissonancy.
Dissonancy, which vocab word of the week. If you never learn anything from our podcast, here's a word. Dissonant. Eric, do you know the meaning of the word dissonant?
Dis means to sort of go against or to break. So disillusion is to ruin the illusion of, right?
Okay.
So to ruin something, but I don't know what silency is.
Okay.
To break the silence?
Well, maybe. Not quite. Again, I tried to do the etymology on the word.
Yeah.
I'm not an etymologist, so I'm not a Latin dude.
Yeah, you hate bugs.
Dissolent in general is to burst apart, burst open. So you can imagine, you know, as far as
like inhuman pustulance.
Sure. Yeah. It's a. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let the mind do what it will with the imagery of an inhuman-like bursting apart.
At this point, we ask you to lay back in your easy chair and imagine oceans of pus pouring from the one you love.
I will say, now is a good moment to pause, send your wife and kids to another room, or husband and kids.
Really? All right.
Or be prepared to baptize them in the glory that is just the underworld of music.
The undercarriage.
Keep listening, folks. That was not an error. We are...
I can't even play that underneath
We
us.
Are dissonantly laughing. Okay? We are trying to hold our insides in.
These are great guys. I'm sure they're really wonderful, and they remember their grandmas at Christmas time, and...
That is a real song. That wasn't some weird joke by us. Inhuman dissonancy. Any fans out there, let us know. I mean, these
what
guys...
What are we missing? What are we missing?
Yeah, send us their... Send us Inhuman Dissonancy's hit.
Yeah.
Send us
their club jammer.
Yeah.
The one that your mom used to sing to you in the crib.
They've got 10 out... I don't know how many albums they actually have. Let's say you're a fan. You've got the... I'm setting up the fan.
Oh, okay, you get the whole discography.
You've got the complete discography. You've got bootleg tracks. You've got Japanese imports of this band. Travel. Which jam, when you go to see them, when they come to your town or the next town over and you go see them... You know,
I like that. That's part of your description is the next town. Oh, like if they come to your town, the next town. If they come to the one two towns over, that might be too far. And maybe you're thinking it's a Thursday night and you have to work early the next day. And inhuman dissonancy.
Are you really going to drive to Hartford to see them?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
Which song do you want to hear by Inhuman Dissonancy?
Yeah, that's
just ask. We're please, asking. We're not judging.
If you're Inhuman Dissonancy, what song should we hear? Like, what song will woken us.
We're not mocking you. We just don't understand.
Yeah.
I've gone to a lot of depths of music, and that's one I can't quite get there.
But see, here's going to be my defense, okay? I have been joking about this for decades, and someday I'm going to have the balls to do it. But in old English script, Tupac had his thing, right?
Okay.
His gangsta, I want wussy, right? Because I am king of the wussy. The lighter and fluffier, as I get older, the lighter and fluffier and more, I almost want to say hippie-ish, it is, the more I'm drawn. I'm dangerously close to adult contemporary.
Well, enter the Mountain Goat's most recent album.
Yeah, well, that's, we'll save that for a whole nother cut-by-cut series. So this is Old Man... G-H-I-U-R-O. Guro? Guru?
Oh, yeah.
Guru?
Yeah, this was your...
Yeah, so this is mine, and this one would earn me... someone's going to start a Kickstarter so I can get my wussy tattoo, and I promise you, I will.
I'll seed that with a $5.
All right, great.
A $5?
Give Eric a wussy tattoo.
A Lincoln.
So here is... The position of the mind is a terrible thing. It's a transformation with an urge to kill. Not the body of a man from Earth. Not the face of the one you... I turned into a Martian, and I can't even recall my name. Times I never hardly... It's missing desperately the whoa.
Yeah, it's a little... That's the only disappointing part of it.
Like, I like the finger picking. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I like his hitting of the lyrics and hitting of the lines and stuff.
He's got the beat with the tapping, you know?
Yeah. He's got that nice cadence for a finger-picked song. It's sped up, but it's also a little sedate. It's something you could put on with your kids in the car. This is... Oh, by the way, bring your kids back into the
room. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I could have come back in. You know, pause it, rewind it back about 2 minutes. You can come back in.
So we're going to close out with, I think what we decided was the winner. So thank you for listening to Cut by Cut Episode 2. The winner of the I Turned Into a Martian covers contest for this week is...
I give it to that folk song guy that just did it.
Oh, really?
I do, yeah.
I was going to do the other one.
We're awarding
the one that we didn't
other.
Play yet. Oh. I know. So I'm awarding you winner, and you're awarding me.
Yeah.
All right. I liked one we didn't play yet, which is goes against our convention of don't play a song that sounds the same as the actual song is being covered.
Yeah, sure.
This is the Piss Fits.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And turned in to Barbara Streisand.
That's right. Sorry, I drew a blank.
Holy cow, of everyone in the whole world to fall in love with, I had to pick a Martian.